Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio. Go to her website at www.livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal to get your free 20-minute session with Dr. Vicki. She offers various counseling sessions as well as the life-changing soul rejuvenation to guide you to live authentically on your soul's journey. If you lose it when you meet a guy and simply want to learn to be independent, free and happy in or out of a relationship, then listen each Sunday night to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and join her on Living Your Soul's Journey on Facebook.
Living Your Soul's Journey. I am so happy to be with everyone this evening. I am so excited because I have a very special guest, and I just want to make a comment about something to do with living your soul's journey. When you are truly wanting to live your soul's journey in a way that brings joy and happiness to your soul, astrology can help in a way and guide you in a way that brings wisdom and knowledge and helps in such a way that you don't have to go through this maze of not understanding what is happening now. So based on that, I was going through the internet to find this somebody out there that had some information on astrology that I could start learning the basics. Boy, do I realize how much astrologers know. And I came across Genevieve Verling in California. She has been practicing professional astrology for over 40 years, and she helps people all over the world to understand their soul's journey, whether that's in a relationship, looking for the year ahead, wondering what's going on, zeroing in on specific issues and challenges that you may have, or just need a different perspective maybe on something in your life that's just not quite going there. And even if your life is fabulous, it's always good to have Genevieve tell you what's going to happen in the next year. It just makes it easier. So how are you, Genevieve?
Well, I'm great, and I'm delighted to be on your show, Vicki.
Well, thank you. And I want to remind everybody, just right up front, I'll mention it all during the show, but you can reach Genevieve at www.bluelightlady.com. And she also, her phone number is 530-272-5778. Well, Miss Genevieve, I just want to start the show off saying thank you, because I have your CDs. And they have helped me to, if nothing else, I realize how talented you are, because all those little figurines that they put on the charts, whatever you call them, the glyphs or whatever, okay. Have mercy on my soul. You have to be a genius to even understand that. I mean, that's the whole key. Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, there are all these little figures. But I have a question that I want to ask you. And then as we get callers, and then, you can kind of go off into things that are important. But there's a question that I was looking at your chart. I was looking at my daughter's chart and my chart. When there is nothing in a house, and I know that if folks are listening out there, if you've ever had your chart done, their houses, and sometimes there are all these little figurines in them, and sometimes there's nothing there. What does that mean when there's nothing there?
Well, I look at it this way, that it means you have more free choice in those realms, because there's no particular emphasis, where if a planet's in that realm, that planet is the energy that you have to use to handle that area of your life. When there's nothing there, you have a little more free range, even though everything in the chart is moving through time. So eventually, energies will move into those places. So it's not like they stay empty all your life.
Okay, so that's when people talk about a natal chart, and I know a lot of people, that means that's the way it was when you were born.
That's right. Yeah, the natal map is a kind of two-dimensional image of our solar system at the time of your birth.
Now, what happens when someone's adopted and they don't know their rising sign? Now, and there's a question I'm going to get to in a minute, but a rising sign is what? Tell us what a rising sign is.
Okay, I work with what's called tropical astrology. So the rising sign would be when you come out of your mama and you take your first breath, and if you took a little string from your belly button out into the zodiacal belt that surrounds our planet. The zodiacal belt is not necessarily the constellations anymore. It's the belt that defines the solstices and the equinoxes. So if you come to the sign in that zodiacal belt, that's the sign that's rising when you're born. And that's how you approach everything. That's how you begin everything, because that's the sign that was beginning you as you entered your new life.
If someone doesn't know, like I have a daughter that was adopted, and she doesn't know her birth time, like 255 or something. Can you do muscle testing, or can you do something to help folks like that to kind of get an idea? How do you do that?
You can work with intuition. You can also work with what's called rectification techniques. And that's kind of an extensive research into the major events of your life. And based on that, astrologers can sometimes determine the orientation of the chart.
Okay.
But if you don't have the accurate time, we astrologers do what we call a solar chart, which puts the sun rising in the chart. And that chart is valid. It has enough information to also help people with. So.
Okay, because just when you and I talked about my daughter's chart, you know, we gave her, I think we ended up being based on intuition that she was, I don't remember what she, it was something other than Leo. I think it was Leo rising. Uh-huh. But yet when she seems so much more like a Virgo rising as well, so I really wanted to get into not necessarily her chart, but get into that, because a lot of people don't know their rising sign, and that you can help them with that then.
So sometimes the rising sign will show physical characteristics of the person. Like, I'll give you an example. A Scorpio rising person may have a very penetrating look to their eyes.
Okay. Yeah.
But these are subtle differences, and you can't, or like a Cancer rising person might have a moon face, you know, but not always. Yeah. So
okay.
Also you're intuiting because of your daughter, how she tends to approach things. A Virgo rising person can be very particular, very meticulous about things. Whereas a Leo rising person is more, ta-da, here I am.
Ah, okay.
She might be a combination. You know, she might be a little bit of both. Yeah.
She's very discerning, and she's more discerning than I ever was. I didn't even know what the definition of discerning was until I turned like 60. But she's very discerning, and that's a lot more Virgo, I think, than.
Yes.
And I have to tell, I just want to say something to Doug right now. Doug, I can't see the conversation right now. So if anybody's trying to call in, I can't see that conversation. So help me out here, please. So if somebody's calling in, I can't see their conversation. But anyway, so that now let's talk about, because I know there are people listening that say, well, gosh, you know, I have this boyfriend. Everybody has issues with men and women and all that stuff. I understand that. I don't anymore because I gave up on it a long time ago. But for those that still are out there trying, you can help people improve their relationship with each other, can't you?
Yes. And one of the ways you do that is you show each person the energies of the other, so that they understand more, oh, this is where that person's coming from. This is why they're the way they are. It would be like looking at an apple versus an orange. You know, there are different qualities and characteristics to each of those fruits. So the apple can't be like the orange. And each person is unique. And it often does give people an objectivity that they wouldn't have otherwise. when they can really see objectively, oh, that's their energy. That's the way they are.
That makes sense. Now, there's one comment I want to make that you made on your CDs. But you know, before I do that, Valerie is calling in and wants to talk to us. So, hi, Valerie. How are you?
Hey, Vicki.
Hey, and Genevieve is on the line with us. Valerie, do you have a question for her?
Well, I would like to know if there's any changes coming up for me in this next, well, by the end of this year.
Okay, now you're in Georgia. You're in Georgia, and what is your birthday? You need, what do you need from her, Genevieve?
Well, yeah, I'll just be able to do a kind of major look by knowing her birth date. Yeah.
Okay.
December 20th, 1956.
All right. Let me put that on my screen.
Yeah, and you're young, Valerie. Have mercy. You make me look like some grandma.
I wish December, I felt that way.
Valerie, what is it? December 20th? What year?
December 20th, 1956.
And where were you born?
I was born in Atlanta, Georgia.
You're an Atlanta baby.
I'm going to do for you, Valerie, is just do this classic sunrise chart, and I can put it right up on my screen here and give you a little encapsulation of what I see.
That'd be great.
Okay. All right. So you're a Sagittarian, and yes. You're getting ready for a major turn of the wheel in your life where you're entering what I would call your wise woman years. And yeah, it's going to be major in 2016. So it's going to be an important year for you to refocus your aim. What do you want to achieve? Think about that, because you're going to be at a new beginning within yourself. And that's going to occur somewhere in the late spring of 2016 on into the year. That's one of the changes I see going on for you. It's good.
Say that again.
It's good because you have an amazing reservoir of creative energy. You were born with Moon in Leo, and you need to express yourself. You need to be creative. You need to be unique. You need to have fun. And so refocus your aim on what gives you delight, what gives you joy, what gives you fun in life. It's an important time for you to look at that.
Okay, well, I feel like I've done that most of my life, trying to do that. Of course, it's been just later in these years that I've figured out how to start thinking about me and what I want.
Yeah, you have a lot of fire. You're a fiery soul.
I didn't hear you. A lot of what?
And you need, it looks
fire.
Like
fire. Fire. She said fire. Fire energy. Valerie.
Okay, yes.
You need to have adventures. Valerie, you need to have adventures in life. That you need still some spark to have more adventures in your own life. And freedom.
Well, there's a problem with that, and that's my health. Do you see anything about health?
Okay, I'm looking.
Yeah.
Anything that's chronic, you need to deal with for sure. Chronic issues. You have enough. Okay. How's your liver?
I don't know. I hadn't heard. That's really not been a focus of the problem, but
that's not been the focus.
I guess I could check on it.
Well, I'm just seeing that the liver is an important organ in your body. And, of course, the liver is the filter for your blood. And the more you can cleanse and clean yourself, the better. That's going to be important for you. Mobility is important for you. And if you're having problems with mobility, that, too, you need to address. Because you have this chart that talks about the desire and the need to be free and to move. So keeping your body strong and healthy is very important.
Exactly. Problem is, I have a spinal cord problem. That's the problem. I can't move.
You
and when I can't move,
mobile.
I can't.
You have a mobility issue, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so
the question.
So then, is that something that can be corrected by surgery, or is there not any good prognosis on that for you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm in the process of setting an appointment up to schedule a procedure that hopefully will benefit that. That was one of the reasons I called, was I'm at that point in the next month or so to have a procedure that will hopefully give me some mobility, and I'm hoping that will make a real big difference in my mobility and, of course, my life in general, because I've been miserable without being able to move.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I'm in pain all the time.
It sounds like the cross you've had to bear in life. To sacrifice some of the freedom that you really need and want. So I do feel that surgery may help you. And I'm a great believer in doing it all. So I would also, maybe I can tell Vicki about a very powerful healer that I know of who might be able to help you. And he works via Skype. He works all over the world. And so I do encourage you to work with an energy healer as well on this.
Okay.
Do both. But I'm just getting a good hit about this man. And I don't know whether you want me to talk about him on the show, Vicki, or I can tell you privately. You can pass that on to Valerie.
Sure. Are you getting a hit on a man? Is that what you said?
Yes. He's a powerful healer. He's the real thing. He does the energy work on people.
And you're more than welcome to share his name.
His name is Francis the Healer. And you can Google him. You can go online and you can find him online. Francis the Healer.
Wow.
He has helped thousands and thousands of people.
I love to share wonderful healers, Genevieve. That's such a gift to give to people.
Well, then I'll share an anecdotal story. I have a very good friend who has leukemia, and her white blood cell count is over the top. You know, it's in thousands. And she worked with him, and her white blood cell count has gone way down, so she's able to track it, and she's just thrilled.
Oh, excellent. So Francis the Healer. Okay, great. Francis the Healer.
Mm-hmm. And yet, excellent. Valerie, I would still, you know, consider the surgery. I wouldn't rule that out at all.
Okay.
You probably need both. You need both. Yeah. But I do feel you have a good chance of... restoring some of your vitality and your health and your ability to move and be mobile again. You need that.
Oh, God. Tell me about it. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I know it's essential. And but you're kind of stuck when you can't move.
Absolutely. I mean, you probably can move in your mind and, you know, do things.
Right,
but
right.
You have such a chart that yearns to be free. Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Well,
yeah,
great.
Being the double fire sign, that's got to be, I mean, I can see that. You got a double fire.
Yeah, she has double fire. She's a Sagittarian, but she's got the moon in Leo next to Uranus, which also is part of the problem that when you have the moon next to Uranus, sometimes it's like having the rug pulled out from under you, where you have to go through traumas. And
that's,
it sounds like you've had traumas. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Genevieve and Vicki. I appreciate the assistance.
I appreciate you calling in and keep listening to the show, because there'll be a lot more that Genevieve's going to share that could help. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Valerie. It's good to talk to you this evening. Thank you for calling the show. All right. Genevieve, that brings up a question, because I want to share this. When you're a fire sign and you have a double fire, then what does that mean for people? I mean, what, you know, I know that there's earth, fire, help me out here, earth, fire.
The elements.
That's what I wanted you to talk about.
Right.
Yeah.
Elements. So people have different combinations of those. So when you're a double fire sign, you need to be creative and express. Fire has to move out. You know, it moves up and out. That's what fire wants to do. But fire is actually, from my point of view, one of the most vulnerable of the elements, because water can put it out, earth can snuff it out, and air can blow it out, unless it gets strong enough. And of course, fire can be very destructive as well. So fire people need other fire people. They need people to connect with that inspire them, that make them laugh, that are enthusiastic, that they can play with. Fire needs fire.
Interesting. Well, I mean, because see, my daughter's a double fire.
Right.
She's got,
I don't.
Well, that's okay. I do, but not that I can read it like you do. But I mean, she's got an Aries moon, and her sun sign is Leo. And then, you know, we kind of thought maybe her rising sign was Leo. And I'm gonna tell you, she has to express, or she goes banana land. And you put her in a public school, which I did for 4 days, Genevieve, in this local area, and I thought she was gonna lose it. I mean, I thought the poor. She said, "Mama, this is like being in a box that they won't let you out." And regular schools for these fire kids. I'm wondering, and this is just our projection, just you and me talking now. I'm not trying to be a doctor here, but I just wonder sometimes if these little fire signs are the ones that end up getting on all this these medical diagnoses and everything, Genevieve.
Yeah, what is it, ADTP or whatever they call it?
ADD and ADHD and oh my gosh, got all kinds of names for them.
They get often mislabeled because they want to express, and they're outgoing, and their energy pushes out. They can appear highly assertive at times, even aggressive at times, but they have to get the fire out or it implodes inside too. They can become self-destructive if the fire is suppressed too much.
This is why you're such a great teacher. You have the best way, Genevieve, of explaining things. I have never been as impressed with anyone like I have been with you. You just, it's amazing. It makes so sense. And you know what? This is so fascinating, because now I don't know a lot about, I was raised with an Aries. My mother was an Aries, and I thought I'd never spoke for the first 8 years of my life, Genevieve, because she talked. She did all the speaking.
She did all the talking. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, when I was in pageants and stuff in teenage years, I learned to speak. It was very, I don't know if anybody out there has an Aries mother or fire sign mother.
My mother was an Aries. They're not all of the same ilk. My mother was not that much of a talker. When I look at your chart, I see the moon at the top of the chart. Can I say this to the public?
I'm an open book.
All right. So your moon is in Scorpio at the top of the chart. That's mother. So mother had a lot of power and a lot of control in your life. That's how you experienced her.
Amen.
But also, because you have the moon in Scorpio, you needed to be quiet and absorb and observe for a long time before you felt ready or even safe enough to express. Well, then here's your sun, your Mercury, your Jupiter, all in the house of communication. So eventually it all came out, and look at you now, baby.
Yeah. I mean, well, I do talk.
Right.
I mean that's fascinating.
And you have Mercury and Jupiter together in Aries, so you're a lawyer as well. I mean, that's an amazingly synchronistic symbol for somebody who practices law. It's great because Jupiter rules law. So you eventually found your voice, but your chart is saying that you had to find the key to that voice. Your mother couldn't help you with that.
Yes.
You gradually over time had to find the key to open that door and let your own powerful voice out.
Well, it took five decades to learn how to do it. Five decades.
Wow.
And it was only through my energy work, Genevieve, that I was able to release it and finally get a true. It took me that long. I mean, I'm not saying I went on about my way and it was a gradual, but it took that long to finally end it where it was no longer affecting me in a negative way. How about that? That's probably a safer way.
Well, that's,
so I, you know,
yeah, that to me describes one of the major challenges of your life, because you literally have had to dive deep into yourself and release the power and the knowledge and the wisdom that you have. And you were born with what we call a grand cross. So you too have had your own cross to bear to discover or to activate the power that's in you, which is highly active. You know, it's, wow. Yeah.
My whole life was a struggle with my mom. It was the hardest thing. And, you know, if I had known you earlier, I could have found out, and this is what I want to share with everyone, is that if you have a situation in your life, you know, call Genevieve, find out what's happening with that person. Help Genevieve can say, okay, this person's, you know, got this going on, and you know, and you've got this going on, and maybe that will help with these relationships. I'm a very big believer in astrology because help us to clear this up. But when people don't understand each other, it's typically because they don't understand all the different parts of their chart. It's, she's a Pisces. Well, she's this way. Or he's a Leo, so he's this way. That's not accurate, is it, Genevieve?
No, because we're more complex than that. You know, we're each of us a unique pattern and a unique design. And so there are Aries and there are Aries. So like you had an Aries mother who did all the talking. My mother was fairly quiet. I have an Aries daughter who's actually very quiet. So it's just different types. And when you look at the chart, then you begin to see all the patterns and the intricacies of how a person is made up. So yeah, astrology gives you a window, an amazing perspective of understanding. That's the beauty of astrology. I never fail to be in awe or wonder at how wonderful and accurate it is.
Yeah.
as,
wow.
as a way to view life or a way to view other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's something that you had said on the CDs that resonated with me, and I want to share this because when people do a chart, and let's say for just talking sense that you have a Pisces woman and a Cancer man, you know, you would think that would work. I mean, and Scorpio, both of them had Scorpio in their charts. But there was something that you said that made total sense. You cannot see consciousness in a chart. Explain right. that to everyone.
Okay, so just because a Cancer and a Pisces have sun energy that harmonizes, if one of them has a level of consciousness that the other doesn't, there will eventually be problems. So let's say we have a Pisces woman and a Cancer man, and the Pisces woman is more conscious. The Cancer man will eventually try to control and manipulate her to such a degree because, why? Because Cancer men often doubt their masculinity. They often, because they're sensitive, they feel things, but that's not macho, you know. So they will overcompensate, or they will have defense mechanisms to prove that they're men.
Now, I understand.
And so there we begin to see the problems, you know, that may arise. Unless that man is willing to be conscious that he has sensitivity, that he needs to nurture other people, that he needs to allow his feelings to rise up and show, you see, he may be in denial, and that creates problems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that you just explained. You see, now, if I had talked to you before I had my final relationship this lifetime, and I'm so proud to say that, I may have a relationship but not a marriage. But I was allegedly married to a Cancer. He was actually still married to his first wife, so it really wasn't a marriage. I know. But he, you know, on the surface, you know, you would have thought, looking at a chart, that it would have gotten along. But the consciousness level and the control, you hit it on the head. I don't know if anybody's listening has reality on this, but I need a lot of space, Genevieve. And so I would take walks all the time, and he would say, well, you have 30 minutes. If you're not back in 30 minutes, then I'll presume something happened and I'll come get you. Uh-huh. And I'm like, what happened to my space? I mean, that's not space. And the control was so tight that when I would get away just to go to the movies. Now, this is a very emotional person, talks spirituality, but the consciousness level was very, very low. Very, how do you call it, a bipolar type of person. When I would go to the movies, this person would be waiting outside to see if I was with somebody else. It was that it was that bad. It did, their relationship only lasted a couple of months. But my point being is that, you know, I want folks listening to not just, and this is what Genevieve, I feel you have this strength to help people, that just because they're a sign, the sun sign or their moons, you know, connect, doesn't mean that you got to look deeper. Mm-hmm. Help us to understand that, Genevieve. Help us to see how,
People are always asking me, what sign is good for me? You know, which sign should I be with? It's not a matter of that. There is no match between people when there's enough love that can't survive all the problems the charts may show astrologically. But you could have the best, the most perfect match, and unless there's enough love there, it's not going to work. And love, to me, equates with consciousness, really.
Because it does. What a beautiful comment. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like the man you were with, he didn't love himself enough. He was very insecure.
Yes, you know? Very much, yeah.
So he was looking for that outside of himself and trying to control you, so that you would make sure that he had that. Well, nobody can do that for somebody else.
I understand that now, but I didn't know it at the beginning. Listen, we have a caller. Sandy, how are you this evening?
I am fine, and this is a very interesting show. You're right, Dr. Guinevere is very interesting. I'm just, I'm very much enjoying what she has to say.
And she's in California. All these folks in California, I tell you. All my friends, Genevieve, live in California. What do y'all have out there?
Yeah, I love that Georgian accent.
I've lived in Georgia, Sandy, and I'm from Alabama.
Alabama.
Oh, I love the lilt in your voice. It's so nice.
Well, Sandy, what's your question for Genevieve?
Where am I? How did I get here? And where am I going? No, I wish you could tell me that. Seriously, I have just now started promoting my husband's acting career to get him started again as an actor. It seems like I'm always doing that for someone else, at which I'm glad to, especially my husband, and it's about time I did. But I was wondering if you see anything positive happening for me and mine, either through my husband or through my writing or my comedy, and my birth date is May 6, 1949.
Taurus.
And where were you born, Sandy?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Alabama baby.
Oh, yeah.
She's an Alabama baby. And your husband's a Leo, isn't he?
Oh, yes. He is definitely a Leo.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've pulled your chart. So, Sandy, you have a lot of Taurus in you. You have Mars, the Sun, and Venus all in Taurus. And you do have the signature of a good communicator. Wow. You have a wonderful connection with the two planets that have to do with the mind and communicating. Mercury in Gemini, Jupiter in Aquarius, they harmonize beautifully. And you have the moon in Leo, so you and your husband have a deep bond. Even though you have to bow in respect to each other, you have to respect each other's strength because you're a Taurus and he's a Leo. I would say you should continue to move forward with your writing. You're going to be challenged. It's a year of challenging you to stay the course, to keep your eye on the goal, to not give up. Okay. But write. Just keep writing. Just keep doing it.
Okay.
You and your husband both. In 2015, towards the end of 2014 through 2015, have both, in a sense, been at a new beginning. And so that new beginning spark now, you're going to do really well. The planet Jupiter is going into Virgo, which is an earth sign, and it will be flowing towards all your earth. So you're going to be very productive. I can pretty much predict that you're going to, the juices of productivity are going to flow for you. And it will be a time of critiquing everything you do. So creativity isn't just about, let it all hang out. It's also about editing, discriminating, picking and choosing. And you must know that as a writer. But this is going to be a very productive year for you. Good year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that. That's good news. Yes, I'll take that.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I just want to stay on here and pig you up, but I want to listen to y'all talk some more, too. So I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to make myself hush my mouth and call back in and just listen, and y'all be blessed. And thank you, Guinevere.
Well, you're welcome, Sandy.
Thanks for calling in, Sandy.
Yeah. Okay, you're welcome.
Right.
Bye-bye.
She's got she's got a great chart. Nice strength. She has a lot of strength.
Well, Sandy has been a friend of mine for over 20 years, and she's a comedic person, and she's probably one of the most powerful people I've ever met in my life. And she is just a fireball. But you are right, so right. She had the last year or so back when you were talking about it, it was very challenging for them. And in case anybody's wondering, those are my two little puppies. There's a deer outside, so they're barking at it. So, well, now this is fascinating. So I want to just, Teddy, you have to be real quiet now. Mommy's on a radio show. What I wanted to share is that with folks that are having situations like career issues, you can help them. You know, they don't have to necessarily call you to just get everything in the world handled. They could just ask you a question, can't they? Can they do that type of thing?
They can do that. Yeah, I usually prorate my fees and my time based on, I have done that. I have done like half hour sessions for people. Mm-hmm. Most people, you know, a quick question. Yeah, I can do that. Most people, they'll usually take up at least a half an hour.
Oh, I can't imagine. Listen, I would take up hours, and I've had a lot of readings through my life. And I just want to comment on one aspect. You were talking about the elementals. You've got the fire signs, which are Sagittarius, Leo, and Aries. And yes. Then let's talk about the water signs, just in that way that you were talking about the fire signs, like fire signs have they have to get that energy out, but yet they're the most vulnerable because right. Water can put them out. So talk to us a little bit about water, the earth, and the air.
So the water signs would be Cancer is the first water sign, then Scorpio, and then Pisces. And all of those signs are highly connected with the emotional realm and even the unconscious. They're all sensitive signs. They all feel. I would say that Scorpio tends to hide their feelings the most, but they feel very, very deeply. Cancer people will show their feelings more easily, and Pisces people are the most mysterious and the most difficult to figure out, because the Pisces has all the signs in them. Remember, Pisces rules the feet in the body, and the feet have to support everything else. So by the time we get to Pisces, Pisces is a very universal sign. So part of the issue with Pisces is they feel everybody else. And they sometimes get confused about what's theirs and what's somebody else's, because they're so osmotic. They're so like a sponge absorbing it in. And so I usually advise Pisces people, you've got to spend enough time alone to get to know who you are. More than any of the other signs, I feel Pisces has to spend time alone.
Now, let me ask you about that, because, of course, I'm a Pisces, so I totally understand that. But if a person had a Pisces rising sign or a Pisces moon, wouldn't that still apply to them? It isn't just the sun sign that applies
right.
to that.
That's right, Vicki. The moon, I feel, people with the moon in Pisces is probably the most sensitive place to have the moon. Absolutely. Unequivocally. Mm-hmm. And it can create problems because they're absorbing so much, and they have to learn how to either stand back from that and gain objectivity about it, or to have some way to release it.
Go ahead.
Pisces rising people approach life with that great sensitivity. So they're often highly telepathic people. They feel things, you know, when they enter a room, they feel it all. So the water signs feel. That's their primary quality. They feel.
Well, now, like with Sandy, who called in, she has had a lot of Taurus.
Yes.
So that's Earth. So what would that be?
Well, she's Earth fire. So she's like the steamroller of the zodiac. She's a powerhouse. You're right. Once she gets going, she's like a steamroller. Nothing can stop her.
Right, you got it.
And she doesn't have any planets in water at all. So she would be drawn to water. Usually if you don't have a planet in one of the elements, you're going to be drawn to it. So she's a writer, let's say. She's a comedian. She would be drawn to emotional situations, perhaps, to get in touch with that feeling aspect.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. And so that would be your Taurus, your Virgo, and your...
Capricorn,
that's right.
Yeah, those are the Earth signs. And Earth is practical. It's pragmatic. It's here now. It's show me the bottom line. They're basic people, especially Tauruses. You know, they're sensual, basic. They love, the food, sensate functions, beautiful things to have around them. The good life, that's Taurus.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah. So, and now what about, let's see, we've got the Aries and the Libra and the Aquarius. So those are our air signs. Is that correct?
Right. Aries is fire. So we've got Gemini.
Gemini. That's right.
Yeah, Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius are the air signs. And the air signs are the most... the type who need to circulate. All you have to do is think about air. It's light. It needs to circulate. It needs to move. It's social, but it's also very mental. So air types, if there's too much air, they're not grounded enough. They need to be grounded with earth because they're up in their minds all the time. They're absent-minded, maybe sometimes, like the absent-minded professor or the scientist, you know, who's theoretical and always out there somewhere. That's your air. But yeah, they're good with people. They're good communicators. Air, we need air to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
It's the element of circulation, communication, exchange, all of that. So
that's the one sign I don't understand.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand that. Well, not the sign, but the air part. Yeah.
I'm a Pisces, but I have a lot of air. So when you have water and air together, these are the people who make good counselors, who make good therapists, because you have to have empathy through the water, but you also have to be able to communicate, and that's the air.
Okay.
If you have an air fire type, they're almost too yang. They're almost too out there and maybe not empathetic enough or grounded enough. So you have to look at how everything gets balanced in the chart, and ideally, we should all have enough earth, air, fire, and water.
Okay. When you're living, you're living your soul's journey, which we all have to live, do you, as an astrologer, then someone who comes in with a lot more air or a lot more water then has a lot of issues to work out through that, correct?
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, getting back to my original question, because for those that have never had their chart done, you got to call Genevieve to look at it so that you'll understand what I'm saying. But so when you have a lot of your houses, which have nothing in them, so that's the way I describe them, they don't have any planets or anything in it, then you have a lot more free will in those areas. And when you have certain Mercuries or certain planets in your charts, then those are the issues that you're come into this lifetime to sort of work through then. Is that correct?
That's correct. So, Vicki, I'm looking at your chart, for example, and you have the moon high in the sky, and you have Mars there as well. So you need a public life. You need your career, and you need to work with the public. That's a given. That's something that would be pretty difficult to avoid in this life because you got the moon there and Mars. You need it and you want it. Both. I'm just using that you as an example of that when I'm looking at your chart. Yeah.
Right. So and so that means that if I try to subdue that, then obviously I would be fighting against what I was meant to be on Earth supposed to be on Earth. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So if you denied that and said, I'm just going to be a hermit and a recluse, there would be something missing in your life that you would always be kind of beckoning to you and calling to you.
Well, that's what's going on right now because I kept using the house, the sale of the house, because it hadn't sold, so I wasn't going to do my radio show, and I kept calling Doug and said, "Well, I'll do it in a year," and I went off the air for 3 years because I kept thinking, "Oh, I have to wait for this and this and this," and it's been a major shift. Of change. But, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time left. There's a couple of things I want to do here, Genevieve. I want to give your email, not your email, but your information out, because there are going to be people out that didn't call in that may want to talk to you.
Sure.
And so I am looking for that right now. Help me out with it. It's www. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a blog where I post a lot of articles, and it's bluelightlady.com. Just all bluelightlady.com. And they can reach me through that. They can email me directly through that site. I could also give my email address.
Okay, go ahead and do that.
Which is all lowercase g, as in girl, Vierling, Vierling, at sbcglobal.net. That's my regular email.
Okay. Uh-huh. Great. Well, I just want people to know how to communicate with you, and because there are a lot of times, Genevieve, that we don't. There's somebody who may not listen, but they listen to the archive, in the weeks to come, but you are so absolutely a genius, and I think that's because you have the air and the water so that you can help people to understand, and by the way, if anybody's interested in learning astrology, just the basics, just so that you can kind of, have some intelligence when people talk about this, you need to order Genevieve's tapes, their CDs, but they are fabulous. I listen to them over and over again because there's so much data on there, but the way you explain it gives me an understanding that I've never had before just on the basics of astrology. So I really want to thank you for that gift that you gave me, because it's been powerful. I drive all through the mountains, Genevieve, and I put one of your tapes on and I'm like, "Ooh, I understand that now." I really appreciate that.
Well, and thank you, Vicki. Yeah, for feedback. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's fabulous because this is a very area that people don't always understand. People think it's just that one sign.
Right.
And you have given me that ability to understand that it isn't just that one sign. So it's very powerful for people to understand that you don't just go meet somebody, right? Hi, they're a Cancer, and so therefore I'm going to get along with them because I'm a water sign, or two Leos together or something. I have a real quick question. Yeah, and we don't have but a few minutes, but I want to comment on the fact that you have this ability to teach, which I guess now is the air and the water together, correct? Is that right? Because we just have a minute or so.
Yeah, probably. Plus I have some. Well, I have earth and fire, too. I mean, earth helps organize things.
Yeah, well, that's important in teaching.
And fire, you've got to have your enthusiasm. So I have I have enough Leo in me to have enthusiasm.
Wow. Well, yeah. I want to definitely get a thorough reading for you, because I have some things that we've talked about earlier that just got resolved today.
I've had a miracle day, so it's just been powerful. But for everyone listening, just make sure that you go and check out her bluelightlady.com, and you can go listen to her blogs and get to know Genevieve and feel comfortable with her. And hopefully you can, you know, call her and get some of these questions, and let's get ourselves powerful on our soul's journey so that we have understanding and wisdom, right, Genevieve? We need that, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
In our lives.
I'm all with you, Vicki.
Yeah, I mean, we got to empower ourselves to be the best that we can be and make it as easy as we can. We don't have to always be out there struggling, y'all. So, but listen, thank you so much, Genevieve.
And my pleasure.
You have just been a delight, and I know people listening are just thrilled, and I hope that people will call you. I welcome everyone to come back next Sunday at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern, to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki, and I will look forward to talking to you next week. And again, thank you, Genevieve Verlaine, for being our special guest. Good night, everyone.